Hi, friends. I am so happy to be here today. I have a really special guest. Her name is Jessica Maldonado, amazing woman of God, teacher, prophet, evangelist. She's traveled worldwide to different countries, ministering to leadership conferences, out in the bush, evangelistic outreaches. And I've actually gone with her a few times, and it's just been amazing. We've seen signs, miracles, wonders, God moving in incredible ways, people getting healed and delivered. We ministered in hospitals and schools, and it was just a great blast. So she's here today with my new co-host to help me to bring some great content for you guys. So today we're going to talk about the secret of contentment. And, you know, we all go through seasons in our lives that are oftentimes difficult or trying, or we have questions about them. But what matters is we learn to be content in all of our circumstances. Jess, do you want to go ahead and read Philippians 4, 11 through 13?
Sure. Philippians 4, 11 through 13 was written by the Apostle Paul, and he said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether we well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength.
You know, and that is easier said than done. I mean, it's tough to be content sometimes, isn't it, Jess?
Absolutely.
Especially in trying situations or disappointments or difficulties. It is really difficult. But I think if we can learn a secret, it'll help us to be not only to get through the time, but also help us to be maintain our joy and our sense of happiness as well, too. Well, what does it mean to be content, Jess?
Well, it's very, very interesting. Actually, last night I was having dinner with a friend of mine, and I was in my mind already preparing for coming here today and just thinking through on this topic of the secret of contentment. And I asked her, and I said to her, what is contentment to you? And she felt that contentment was settling.
That's good.
But it was a settling not in a sense of finding a comfortable place, but settling to her, it meant had a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
came from a background where she was taught that she should always be striving
right.
and pursuing mm-hmm. to grow and to expand and to succeed. And so she didn't see contentment as being a positive word. However, the way I was raised to think of the word contentment coming from my Hispanic background, to be contenta or mm-hmm. contento, mm-hmm. it means to be happy.
Yes.
And I always understood contentment to be a place of happiness, to find satisfaction and joy in the season that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I look at the Bible and I read about Paul, he found the secret of contentment. And I understand that it really is a choice.
Yes, it is. It is. And Paul went through some pretty tough things. Imprisonment, he was beaten, he was abused, he was shipwrecked. He had a tough season.
He most definitely did.
But he really did learn this amazing secret to contentment. And I think contentment doesn't mean we don't want change, but there is process. You know, we're waiting for change to happen. We're praying for that. And that there's this place, I think, as we're waiting, that we don't become so anxious about the next place. And we lose sight, like you said, we lose sight of focusing on the good. And we want to look at the good things. There was a time in my life where I had no job, no car, taking the bus someplace. I was really miserable. And all I could do at that point was say, Lord, today I know I have salvation. And I said, I'm thankful today. I don't have a car. I don't have a job. I hate taking the bus. But Lord, I'm going to think on the good things. And it was amazing how just my attitude change helped me to get through that challenging time. Well, one of the things I think that I've learned is to stop hating our life. It's so easy to say, oh, I hate my job, I hate my life, I hate my house, I hate this, I hate that, and just makes us more miserable. You know, it just adds to that negativity and the grumbling and complaining. I think that's a really great way to, one of the things we can do is stop saying, I hate this. You know, one thing that I love Joyce Myers, and she said, and I quote, I formed a habit of saying at least once a day, I love my life, I love God, I love myself, my family, the work I do in ministry, I just love my life. Now, I know Joyce. I know that she's had some tough things just come through growing up, and this does not mean that she is blinded by what's her circumstances, but she's choosing. And I love the fact that she's making these statements. I love my life. I love God. She's choosing to, again, think on the good, think on the positive things in her life.
True.
So, Jess, what are some tips that we can share with our listeners today about how to be content?
Well, for me personally, stop complaining is the number one. I think that we complain because we are unhappy, we are frustrated, we want things to be going different or better. It's not what we expected life to be. And so we began to complain and we're angry and unsatisfied. And I think that we need to stop complaining and embrace the season that we're in. I have found in my life that in every season that I've been through, also myself, where I've been without a job, in between jobs, or even in a job that I was miserable and unhappy, I had to think and self-examine and wonder, why am I so miserable? Why am I so unhappy? Why am I complaining about every little thing? And soul search and see if there was actually something inside my heart that I needed to deal with. But then and there was some of that, definitely. But then I also found that, in fact, choosing to be happy is a big step. We can complain and find fault in everything, or we can choose happiness regardless of your situation, that when it's difficult or when it's easy, when there's abundance or whether it's lack, your emotions should align themselves with your choices.
That's good.
And if you choose to be happy, you will set yourself up to succeed.
Right.
You will set yourself up to be able to appreciate and take notice of the small, beautiful things that surround you. You'll begin to smell the flowers. You'll see the butterflies. For me, I enjoy the hummingbirds. You set yourself up even for your emotions and for your mind to appreciate what's around you and to be thankful for what you, in fact, do have.
Right. Right. Because we can be, we could be, we may be out of a job, but at least we have a roof over our head. We have food on the table. We have a car to drive. We have, we don't have to rely on other things like that. We can look for the, like, sunshine, you know, fresh air. Well, relatively fresh air here in Orange County, but the whole idea is, again, look for the small things to be thankful for.
But I tell you, Mari, in my travels, one of the things, my travels to rural places throughout the world and the poorest and poorest of places have radically transformed me. We go and we volunteer to work with the poor, to give them food, clothing, and shelter, to preach the gospel, to give them the quote-unquote good news, because we have the good news. And then I realized that, in fact, yes, we're bringing Jesus to them, but I have learned, I have been transformed so much by their character, by their perseverance, by their joy.
Yes.
I've been in the poorest of places in Africa, and I'm telling you, they are so gifted with the gift of joy and talking to one another. You've been there with me. We've been there together. We've done this together. And they're poor. They have no shoes. They go hungry for days. They can't find water. And Mari, they're happy.
It's amazing.
And like, how could they be happy? In America, we would think, how can people that are suffering be happy? But they embrace the season that they're in. They recognize what they do have. They're grateful for family. They're grateful, as you said, for the sunshine.
Yes, yes.
They're grateful to be alive every day. They wake up and they say, thank you, God, I'm alive. I have another day to have an opportunity to make a difference and to be with my loved ones.
And life is so hard. You know, I remember seeing them cooking and it looked hours. I mean, we pop something in the microwave and it's done in 30 seconds. They're cooking literally all day for one meal and walking literally hours to get water, and how I can just go to my refrigerator, pop open my, you know, my filter and pour me a glass of water. So everything was so much more harder. Like you said, there's just so much joy because they learned to be thankful and have simplify their life and focus on what, you know, they do have. One of the things I really want to talk a little bit more about this is just being thankful. And it tells us in Philippians 4, it says first in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the next one, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then finally, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And I think one of the things for me is that I'm in the middle of situations. I'm making an intentional purpose to look for things to be thankful for.
True.
I'm looking for, you know, because I can become so negative and cranky and grumbling and complaining that I think that, in a sense, I almost make it worse for myself. You know, in Numbers 13 and 14, the children of Israel, they sent in 12 spies. 10 went in, grumbled and complained. Oh, we're gonna die here. 2 said, no, we're not gonna die here. We're gonna make it. God said, we're gonna have the promised land. And because of the 10 mumbling and complaining and grumbling, they were there for 40 years. So sometimes I wonder if our walking around in our situation is made longer by the Lord because we keep murmuring and complaining.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, Mari, because when I've gone through difficult times in my life and I've been a complainer, and I'm sure, Lord knows, I've done a lot of complaining throughout my life, I've learned to complain less.
Yes,
now
me
that
too.
I don't complain, but I've learned to complain less. And I'm aware when I complain not to stop it as soon as I do. But when I've been through difficult seasons and I've been challenged because things did not go my way and I was upset, angry, frustrated, and complained, I realized that I needed to pray to change my attitude and refocus. And in that note, I found myself praying and say, Lord, please, I don't want to go around that mountain one more time. Let me learn from this season what it is that you are teaching me, what it is that you are doing in me.
Yes,
because testing and trials and difficult times builds character.
Yes, it does.
It prunes us. It chisels us.
Mm-hmm.
It remolds and shapes us. And it really, if we learn what we are supposed to learn in that season, it actually brings the final product. It brings the best out of us.
Yes, surprisingly, yes. That is a great consequence of,
sure,
and benefit of going through trials. And, you know, there's I think we have three choices when we face a difficult situation. The first is we can let it destroy us. We can totally throw in the towel and let that circumstance, whatever that is, job loss, a sickness, an illness, a difficulty with your child, whatever the problem is, we can let that whole situation destroy us,
sure,
absolutely make us mush. 2, it can make us bitter. Okay, we can choose or we can let it make it stronger. And those are choices. And I love the fact that despite what's going on in our life, we have choices to make. I'm not a victim to my circumstances. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But I can choose in the midst of all that, one, I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to let it consume me because my life is more than just my circumstances.
Sure.
My life is in the Lord. My life is my family. My life is my friends and the good things in my life. And so it's a mindset that we have to shift from being focused on the bad or the circumstances, say, no, I'm going to choose this. And that's amazing how when we set our mind to do something, a different choice, the outcome is different.
Well, you know, it just crossed my mind. When things happen, the situation shouldn't have you.
Yes.
You should have the situation.
Yes.
You have an opportunity. Every time a situation presents itself, whether positive or negative, it is an opportunity that you have to make the right choice.
Yes, that's so
good.
It's
an opportunity that you have to grow, to make your mark in the world, to have a positive influence on others around you.
Yep, amen.
It's your opportunity to shine.
Absolutely.
To show your strength of character, to show your in your demeanor, the choice of words that you have. What you choose, it's a choice. The choice of words that you have to express yourself in that situation, to be able to show self-control, to keep your composure, to respond with wisdom, to take the time to think through before you respond, act, do. It really is an opportunity that we all have.
Absolutely. And the difference is between you can be a victim. A victim has no choices. They're basically determined, they're defined, they're everything, their value is from that situation. But someone who's victorious takes that out of that circumstance's hand and says, no, I'm going to choose, like you said, I'm going to choose this, this, and this.
Yes.
And I love that it's a mindset. And coming from a victim background, I understand what it is to feel powerless, to feel consumed, to feel overwhelmed by the situation. But I also learned in that, being delivered from that, is that God gave me choices.
Absolutely.
And I can think on the good things. I can, you know, this is going to end. I can look for the good in that. I can allow it to make me stronger. We don't have to like it, but we definitely make it stronger. And, you know, there's a purpose for everything in our life, Jessica. You know, everything, the Bible says that in Romans 8:28, that God will cause all things to work together for as a plan for good for those who love him and follow his plan for their life. And that is so true. When we love the Lord and he loves, and we know he loves us, he will cause all things, not just some things, not just the good things, but all things to work together. And of
Absolutely.
Course, his desire is for us to become more like him, you know, and develop our character, develop our ability to love through these circumstances, love the other person, to be a source of, to reflect him to other people, in our circumstances.
Absolutely, I agree.
Well, let's go ahead, Jessica, and close. And I just would love for you to pray for our friends today and how they can learn to apply this great little teaching. And then I'm going to have you pray for them, for those who don't know him, to receive him. And when I say don't know him, what I mean by that is that we all have opportunity to walk with the Lord. And what that means is that we confess him with our mouth, we believe in our heart he saves us, and we become saved, and we have eternal life, and there's so many amazing benefits. Forgiveness of sin, eternal life, we have a brand new life. I mean, the list is endless. So I'd just love for you to close with us today.
Sure, I'd love to. Father God, I just thank you, Lord,
yes.
for this opportunity here with all those that are listening, that have joined us through the airwaves, God. And we just ask, God, that you would empower us. And I pray I include myself and Mari, God, that you will continue to empower us to be content in all things, in every season of our lives, to choose to be happy, to choose to see the good in every situation, to seize the opportunity, Lord, to grow and to shine and to make an impact, a positive impact, God, upon all those that are part of that experience, God. Father, I ask for strength, Lord, not to complain, to be aware of our emotions, to allow our emotions to come into alignment with our choices. Father, I pray that we would choose to do the right thing and that our emotions, God, will not have us, but that we would bring them in submission to our decisions. Lord, I pray that we will be satisfied, God, and content with in every season. I ask, God, that we learn to be thankful and to recognize what we do have instead of focusing on what we don't have, to focus on what we do have.
Yes, thank you.
And we have what we have been blessed with and what we have been entrusted with. So, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would empower us to make it through the season and to learn the secret and contentment like Paul did. Lord, to be content in every situation, in abundance and lacking and having and in not having, to learn the secret of being happy, of being joyful and satisfied. Lord, we give you this and we thank you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray right now for those of you that are listening that have not met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that this is an opportunity for you to know him, the Son of God, the Son of the Father that was sent here upon the earth, who lived and walked and ministered upon the earth, who was crucified for our sins. And died and rose again on the third day. And the Bible said that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding, speaking in our behalf for us. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God.
That you died for my sins.
You died for my sins.
And that you conquered death.
And you conquered death.
And that you're seated at the right hand of the Father.
And you're seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Representing me.
Representing me.
Speaking for me.
Speaking for me.
Jesus, I accept you.
Jesus, I accept you.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
My life.
Into my life.
And change me.
And change me.
And be the Lord of my life.
And be the Lord of my life.
I give you all the things and all the praise.
I give you all the things and all the praise.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen.
Friends, you know, I just want to encourage you today that to make a determined decision to trust God in the midst of your most difficult seasons, know on the other side of them that you're going to appreciate all the good that's happened, and God is so faithful. Just to recap, some of the things we have, reason why we have trials is to humble us, is to keep us from trusting in and on ourself. I'm the biggest person that has trusted myself, me, myself, and I, to get myself out of situations. But I've learned to trust the Lord, and I've learned to, again, as Jessica said, stop grumbling and complaining, stop feeling sorry for myself and kissing my own, woe is me, pour out the pity party, right? We also know that it's to test our faith. And one of the benefits of our trial is to equip us to help others. I know that Jessica's testimony and my testimony, that we have come through some tough things, but God has used those things to not only help us, but to help other people. So we just encourage you. We love you. We're praying for you. Just, you know, make that choice today to think on the good things, be thankful, learn to be content, and you'll get through whatever you're facing. We love you and bless you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.